Today on Packet Pushers, we sort out how to make use of all that data flowing in from your infrastructure. The issue isn't monitoring anymore, because there's lots and lots and lots of solutions that can monitor. The issue is monitoring in a way that keeps up with all the data points, visualizes them in a way that's helpful, and then can react to correct the situation when possible. Our guest today is Sumeet Singh, VP of the AppFormix Business Unit at Juniper Networks, our sponsor for this episode today. Sumeet, welcome to the Packet Pushers weekly show. And hey, would you in a sentence or two tell us what AppFormix is?
Happy to be here, guys. Yeah, AppFormix is a telemetry platform. It's multi-vendor, it's cross-layer, it's got built-in machine learning capabilities, fancy visualization. It's built to simplify operations and enable automation, closed loop on, you know, all those messy, nasty operation situations that wake you up at 2 in the morning.
So now that we're in this era of cloud, multi-cloud, hybrid cloud, and we need ways to see what's going on in the networks. So we need to see what the hosts are doing. We need to bring all that together. That's where you play.
Yeah. So, the future, right? As we talk about multi-cloud, it's the networks, the virtual machines, those containers, those physical hosts, all of it put together in this single platform, AppFormix.
Right.
All right. Now, you mentioned a second ago, you're not getting called in the middle of the night, something to that effect. So put a little bit of meat on that. What are the major features of AppFormix that means I'm going to sleep better?
So, I mean, if we just take a step back, right? I mean, we've all been there operating, you know, large environments, large networks, large cloud servers, apps, whatever that may be. It happens. It happens to all of us. You get that call at 2 a.m. You wake up. What do? You make other calls. You can wake up other people. Everybody's on a different console, looking at a different screen or a different system. Someone on CLI is trying to understand what's going on. And we do the same thing night after night. And then what you realize is that, man, I just did this thing last night, and I just did this same thing two nights ago. So AppFormix, really, when we built it, we were like, how do we not get that call? How do we automate all of this? How do we ensure that we can capture telemetry from all these different systems in this one single place and apply ML to all that data, you know, which truly has become a fire hose now, and, you know, convert it to something much more higher level, finding the needles for me automatically, and then running the automation to ensure that, you know, the disruption's not happening.
I'm smiling about the 2 a.m. call thing. I remember getting a call from my boss once, and he described the problem to me. I'm barely awake, and I just remember saying to him, why are you talking to me right now? I was so upset to be called in the middle of the night like that. Right. Okay. Okay. Now, you said a lot there in that answer, and all of those points that you hit on, we're going to be diving into in more detail as we go. But one level setting question I think is important to understand, key performance indicators. Now, that's a term that keeps coming up as telemetry platforms talk about what they do and how they do it. But I don't know that a lot of network engineers, one of the major audiences here of people that are listening to this show, maybe that term isn't familiar. Can you describe what key performance indicators, KPIs, are and what they're for?
So, I mean, in networking parlance, I mean, we've been used to a term called SLA forever. KPIs would essentially just be another, some of those SLAs that we've been talking about. If you're thinking about, you know, things getting packets getting dropped or latencies going higher or even jitter, a KPI would be a high level measure that's, you know, informing us in that nice simple way that, hey, you have packet loss in your environment and here's where it is, or you're missing this SLA on latency.
Okay, so from use to you,
standard, I just want to jump in here. Is there standard KPIs that you could use, or do I have to build my own? Is there like a magic art here where defining key performance indicators, or this is working right, or this container's running at the right performance? Is that something that you're at the moment telling me that, you know, you're meeting key KPIs?
So actually, this is an awesome question, by the way, and I'll tell you why. As we worked with more and more enterprises, more and more service providers, what we found is that to each operator, the SLAs, you know, how they measure them and what's good versus bad means a slightly different thing. So out of the box, of course, we do give you some sense of, hey, these are the KPIs you should watch for. But really what we've found is that people like to fine tune, people like to define their own. And that's where the true value of the platform is, that you can get that fire hose of telemetry and then use the ML capability to start defining your own KPIs.
All right. So it's customizable. It fits my business or whatever my vision of the business. So it's up to me as a competent engineer to say, I've got this data, but you're giving me a tool set to say, I need to know that this container is doing this, but another container might want to be is different. You know, this one's running Nginx, this one's running JavaScript V8. Yeah. They're massively different kind of things, and the KPIs can't be the same across all of them.
Yeah, and even if you look at a single network device, right? There's uplink ports, downlink ports. What the KPIs you want to look for on those links could be completely different.
So for people that are used to their network monitoring systems, they see a lot of graphs and charts, maybe red light, green light stuff. Perhaps there's a network topology map that they like to look at on the screen. What's the UI like when I'm using AppFormix? What is it that I'm staring at and interacting with?
So you get all of that. You know, you get the topologies, you get the charts. But we tried to do something different, which is essentially take all of that and make it all real time. So traditionally, if you look at, you know, one of the older user experiences, it's almost like, you know, you look at a chart, you say, hey, show me a 5-minute view, show me, you know, what's that 1-week view. At least in my personal experience, what I found was that if I'm troubleshooting a problem, I need to know what's going on right now. So what we built was a user experience that's completely cut through. It's all based on stream-based technology. It's almost like, you know, playing like a video game where information is being continuously streamed to you. So you log in, you get that, you know, role-based web application, and then, you know, the systems, devices can stream all the information, the metrics, to you directly on your GUI. You can visualize all of it on the topology, look at the charts, look at a single interface, even a container, a virtual machine, whatever that may be. Look at how all of these things connect together. And the best part, while this information is being streamed to you, we apply the streaming algorithms all in memory to give you those KPIs in real time as well.
Okay, so we're talking about streaming telemetry here, which is, again, for people that are used to NMSs and SNMP polling, they're used to, okay, my polling engine's going to go out, hit the network once every, whatever the interval is, 5 minutes is a pretty common default, and then that information is eventually going to be reflected in the graphs that I'm looking at. You're talking about something that is kind of similar, but pretty different in the execution, where it's real time and it's streaming telemetry, meaning there's data that's not being polled, but it's coming inbound from the infrastructure to AppFormix, and then AppFormix is taking all of that real-time data and putting it out on the GUI for me. Do I have that about right?
That's absolutely right, actually. So, you know, new interfaces, when we talk about OpenConfig, it's gRPC-based, where you can actually subscribe to different streams directly from the device and start to visualize them.
Okay, so this again is a different animal. Now, you just mentioned gRPC and OpenConfig as a streaming telemetry format. What other formats of streaming telemetry does AppFormix support?
So gRPC is the predominant streaming format. And then for devices that do not have a native streaming format, what we've done with AppFormix is essentially implemented an agent that can be installed directly on the device, and then that agent can capture the metrics locally and then stream them out for you.
So the device, as in a network switch or a router, or are we talking about a server running Linux, or?
So the agents that we currently have support all Linux-based devices. So it could be a host, it could be a virtual machine, of course, the agent discovers all of the elements that are in that device, you know, the interfaces, the containers, the applications as well, and then captures all of those metrics and streams them out for you.
Okay, so that agent acts as the middleman then. The AppFormix platform wants streaming telemetry. if the box doesn't do streaming telemetry, load the agent on this on a Linux box. It will discover what it knows about physical interfaces and containers and so on. You said turn the data that is on that server into streaming telemetry format that AppFormix can ingest and then sends it to AppFormix.
Yep. And then northbound of the AppFormix platform, once you know we've collected all those streams, and by the way, before I miss it, for backward compatibility, we can also pull for SNMP. But northbound,
you can, but it sounds like you're wrinkling your nose when you say that.
No, because I mean, look, if our goal is automation, then I, as you said, oh, pull it every 5 minutes because I don't want my system to tip over, right?
Yeah.
If our goal is automation, we want to be real time. We want to get ahead of the problem. We want to discover the issue before it actually happens, right? SNMP maybe does not.
Is this a good point to talk about the difference between agent based telemetry streaming and poll pushing? Because the thing about polling is it's actually very resource intensive, and to some, you know, you have to pull, make the request, and you have to wait the response. And by the time you've done that, quite often the situation's actually changed, right? That's just one factor. In the case of an agent on the servers, you're just triggering send, and you're quite often getting a much more accurate position picture of, you know, much more accurate data, not, and building up a better picture than you can with a poll. And that's why you're turning up your nose at SNMP. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. It's like playing whack-a-mole. Right. I mean, you've always trying to figure out what the problem is, and the problem's morphed into something else. You can't figure it out.
I guess it's part of the everything's faster. You know, in the old days when things were on 64K circuits, it was fine. Yeah. But you know, now you're on a 10 gig Ethernet. The world's different.
Yeah, and then imagine, right? Like, what's the cost of not doing anything for 5 minutes on that circuit?
Well, yeah, and these days a lot. Once upon a time, not so much.
And that's what's changed, right? Like, I mean, maybe I can segue into something here as well. I mean, look, our goal truly is automation, right? And the greatest thing that happened to me, like coming from a startup into Juniper, was once I came here, I get to travel the world, you know, meet operators essentially everywhere, all the way from Argentina to Tokyo. And you see one extreme where people really welcome automation, where like, oh, we get it, right? Like the cost of not doing something is so high. Like we have millions of subscribers, or we just got to act
cost
on this.
Cost of not automation, cost of not automating exceeds the cost of performing the automation or executing the automation activity.
Right, but then someone else also says that, hey, you know what? Never talk to me again because I don't want to lose my job. And really, it's not about losing jobs, right? Because if you don't automate, and you know those millions of subscribers are affected, that's when you lose your job. So the dynamics have completely changed.
I do think it's also about scale now. The networks today are faster and bigger than they've ever been. There's more devices. The devices are bigger. The speeds on the network are faster. So, you know, if you're running a 100 gig circuit and it drops for 5 minutes, you didn't drop a half a dozen customers, you know, for a few minutes. You probably dropped 10,000 customers, and you've affected millions of actual requests across, because the bandwidth's so much higher and the density uses the, and that's why we have to, there's an actual fundamental shift in this drive for automation that I think is driving, you know, products like AppFormix along.
I mean, you do not want to be woken up at 2 a.m. ever again.
No, I nearly said before, if you're smart, get the call at 2 a.m. If you're really smart, you're not the person on call. That's not exactly relevant to the discussion.
On that, I mean, this is a funny one. But, I mean, look, the platform enables automation, right? So the goal is that we've built it in a way where like customers can write their own playbooks. So one customer, the playbook actually was that, hey, you know what? In this case, things are kind of bad. You know, wake up my engineer and also make the API call to the Uber, so the Uber is waiting outside his home when he wakes up, because I don't want him to drive at 2 a.m.
Oh man, that's that something like that happens that often, that you would automate such a thing, is like really cool and absolutely horrible all at the same time. Now, Samin, AppFormix is a product that started independently, is now a part of Juniper. So is it multi-vendor, or is it a works best with Juniper kind of platform? How would you describe it?
No, it is multi-vendor. I mean, we were multi-vendor before we came in, and our goal is truly to remain multi-vendor. And essentially, the way we achieve that is through use of plugins. And the data platform is extensible, as in you can add your own metrics to the platform. And you know, we are very happy when customers even sometimes write their own plugins and extend the platform.
Okay, very good. Now, machine learning, I want to dive into a little bit more because, well, one thing, you've mentioned it several times here already, but another thing, I've watched some of your presentations online as you've talked about AppFormix, and the way I've interpreted some of the things you've said here is that machine learning isn't just nice to have, we're getting to a point where it's necessary when it comes to monitoring. Can you explain why you see things that way?
So, really, the goal, I mean, the question is, to me, is how quickly can I resolve a problem so that it doesn't cascade into a bigger problem? Now, if you're expecting that you're going to capture some telemetry, do some basic alarming, and you know, have a, you know, surface it to a human to take a look at it and then decide, you know, what's that next thing to do, then it's really not going to work. So when we think about machine learning, we start at like kind of like that lowest level, where let's say you have thousands of metrics being streamed to you at really fine frequencies, sometimes even sub-second. Firstly, humans can't ingest that. It's too quick and it's too much. So you need the ML to just kind of like take that raw feed and convert it into the KPIs. Mostly there's nothing to look at, but when there is something to look at, you get to know that these are the three needles, let's just say. But then over longer periods of time, you observe patterns of behavior. You want to be able to detect those patterns as well. And then based on those patterns, you got to have your remedies. Initially, those remedies could be essentially as you know, provided by humans. But then again, over time, you can train the system to take those remedies automatically as well.
Yeah, you hit something there in my mind when you said patterns, because one of the ways we would do patterns would be, you know, in the olden days with SNMP polling and RRD graphs, just look at the graph and kind of see the trends over the course of a week, something like that. So you could maybe, using that visual cue, come up with what your typical weekly trends are and kind of see, oh, that looks pretty, you know, beyond the normal, outside of my 95th percentile, and then maybe make some decisions about that. I'm going to set my thresholding here and here because of that. But you miss so much. There's so much detail that's just not seen, because you, just to make any sense out of it as a human, you're zoomed way out to look at a very aggregated set of data points. And you're talking about, I think, the ability to see something that is much more granular and potentially still actionable.
Yep, absolutely. And then that same visual pattern that you were trying to see, we look at it using algorithms and not human eyes. Mm.
Speaking of algorithms, now, in researching this, I came across clustering algorithms that you've mentioned. What is a clustering algorithm, and how is it used by ML for telemetry data analysis?
So, I mean, it's in its simplest form, right? Like, if the way I explain it is, you know, you have a basket. In this basket, there's all kinds of fruits. And then what a clustering algorithm does is essentially looks at all of it and says, hey, you know, here's all of these are apples and all of these are oranges. So in the context of, you know, telemetry, that's roughly kind of what we are trying to identify as well. You know, that just using your example, like you said that, hey, you know, let's say you're looking at a traffic pattern on RRD and you're trying to understand what that pattern looks like. We want to do that same thing using clustering algorithms. So within that stream, you know, they could be substreams, sub patterns, and we want to identify all of those.
Got it. Okay. So that's the thing that is helping me identify those patterns then. Okay. Now, another big value of AppFormix you're talking about is automation. And you've said, again, said that several times. And most of us separate monitoring and automation. Those are different things, where we do the monitoring to see things and give us reports, and we nod and yes and tell us alerts, and then we'll make the decisions about what to do next. Thank you very much. But you're saying no. We need to be able to react to issues that have been detected and then remedy the situation if possible. Okay, so now that we're all a little scared, explain to us what automation is and can do in the context of AppFormix.
So to level set first, so we never want to have a split brain problem. So the assumption is that you will have some orchestration system in place that's taking actions on your environment, whether it is managing your network, or whether it's spinning up virtual machines or containers or connecting things or setting up some security policy.
Okay, so it sounds like you're talking about OpenStack or Kubernetes. You know, some engine that you work with.
Some engine, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, the case of Juniper for networks, it's Contrail. What AppFormix does essentially is it can capture the telemetry. It can capture logs as well, and run analysis on all of that. Get those KPIs for you. Maybe that KPI could just be that, hey, this link, I'm seeing significant packet loss, right? And then automatically inform that orchestration system that, hey, there is this bad thing happening, and you might want to do something about it. That's kind of like the most basic form of automation.
Whether it's based on this KPI and where things are at right now, hey, orchestration engine or Contrail, as the case may be, this is a thing that has happened that has been detected, and then take this action, or would you be relying on the engine to know how to interpret that data?
So that's really depends on a case-by-case basis. And I mean, when we think about automation, we don't think about just kind of like flipping the switch and saying everything is automated. We think about automation as, you know, there are these scenarios that you can potentially fully automate. There are some scenarios that may need some human intervention, where it could be, hey, which one of these two steps should I pick? And then, of course, over time, hopefully we will get to that nirvana state where everything is completely automated.
And then I know there's a bunch of demos of this online where there's some kind of a KPI that triggers an action. One very simple example was, here's a process running on a server and the CPU has climbed very high. Move that process off of that server to somewhere else. Move that workload off somewhere else so that it can still run even though the CPU is pegged on that other box.
Yeah, and similarly, I mean, with we also have demos. I mean, this integration with Juniper has the NorthStar product for orchestrating your WAN, and then with AppFormix, you can capture telemetry from all of those devices and understand in real time, you know, the health of links and devices, and then feedback to NorthStar to route around problems, to circuits in a better way. Making that entire system more state aware of the running state of the underlying network.
Mm. Okay, Sumit, so I think we want to get into some use cases now. How AppFormix, what are all the things that AppFormix is useful for? A lot of that has been implied as we've talked through the beginning. We know we can monitor, well, this is a networking show, and of course you guys are Juniper Networks, so we understand network infrastructure is one of the pieces here. And then you've talked about an agent that could be loaded on Linux boxes. And then you've mentioned that it hooks into orchestration platforms. And I know cloud is a part of the solution here as well. So is this really a full, like, I guess I would describe it as a full IT stack monitoring solution, where I can see from an application-centric viewpoint the underlying infrastructure that that app rides on and how it's affected, or is it more infrastructure centric? How would you describe all of the things that AppFormix can monitor?
It is more IT stack centric. I mean, it's that entire stack, the apps, the servers, virtual machines, containers, the underlying physical environment as well. It's the whole stack. And I mean, as at least for us, as we look to the future, it being able to get telemetry from all of those layers in a single system and then use those metrics to synthesize those KPIs was extremely powerful.
Now, you've mentioned Linux specifically. Does that mean not Windows?
Yeah, so the agent, the native agent that we have is for Linux. For systems in which for which we don't have agents, of course, we have to simply rely on the interfaces that are exposed by the systems, whether they are REST APIs or a traditional like IPMI-like interface. But we have coverage of all systems. Just for Linux, we have the agents, though.
Got it. Okay. So for Linux, it's easier. You can drop the agent in and get the native streaming telemetry format that AppFormix likes to work with. But if it's some other box, yeah, you can pull and pull data with whatever the interface is there, like you can do for network infrastructure, SNMP. But it may be more work to get that system fully integrated.
No, I mean, it'll all work out of the box. You just won't get the complete value of the streaming technology.
Got it. Okay. Mm. Another question here is really, who's your target customer? So a lot of monitoring tools, they're aimed at one type of business or another. Maybe that you guys like enterprises, or maybe you like service providers, et cetera, and you kind of find a niche and go with it. So what sort of organizations does AppFormix best support?
So, I mean, the AppFormix, I mean, truly it's built as a data platform. Right, and then what we do is create applications on top of AppFormix that in Juniper we call bots that create more value out of that data for you, and then we have different bots that are targeted to different industry segments. For the enterprise, of course, we have bots that can look at connectivity patterns and suggest security policies. For cloud service providers, we have tools that are bots that can help you with your billing, with creating chargeback. For the van scenario I was mentioning, we have bots that can tell you the health of your routing and switching devices, so that you can do better path computation.
Right. The key word there to me was it's a data platform. And so you can, if you've got data to feed it, you can make it useful really no matter where. And then you've got plugins that make it especially useful for whatever your corner of the world is. Now, you mentioned chargeback. Is that... I mean, I could use that as an enterprise. I was just thinking about this. It's one of those things where IT is often viewed as a big hole that money goes into, and the value, it's hard to define what the value is, and a lot of the accounting processes are really complex for that. But I could apply AppFormix there.
Yes, and that's the Amazon disruption, right? Like, nobody wants to be viewed as a cost center. Everybody wants to be viewed as someone who's providing a service, someone who's agile. So with AppFormix, you can enable both chargeback and showback. The role-based access is built in, so you can actually let your users, log into the platform and see in real time what their consumption is. And then, of course, that same data can also be used for creating these chargeback reports for the users.
No one wants to see those. I mean, no one that's the consumer wants to see those. The IT people definitely want to see those. But
you'll actually be surprised because, even in that enterprise setting, right? The trouble with this cloud is, with the cloud, not this cloud, is that we have this illusion that we have infinite resources and resources are free. But really, they're not. And being able to show your users like what they're consuming and what it's costing, maybe makes them more aware, and they can make better they can make better decisions as to what, you know, that next virtual machine is that they're spinning up.
Okay, so we understand a bit more.
I think there's a few things there, Ethan, that we don't always think about is that normally when we talk about putting charge back in, we do it in the hypervisor, or we do it in the app, or we do it in doing it at this level in AppFormix as a streaming telemetry system that is able to combine the network. There's some interesting ideas there. And one of the things that I did when I did some flow collection data back in the day was I was able to go to people and say, well, this is how much traffic's being used by the email server. So this is how much money the internet connection and the firewalls is costing you to run an email. And the look of horror on IT's face.
it's shocking, right? Like, I mean, and actually we've even taken it a step further now, because based on that chargeback data, you can actually run automation with on that too. You can start to rate limit. You can say, hey, I'm just going to downsize this thing. All of those things can be done automatically now.
Mm. So you're actually completing the automation cycle. You're saying, once I see something over some sort of telemetry data that exceeds some threshold, you can trigger an automation event from within your app to say, fix that or bring it back under cost control, right?
Absolutely. Mm.
So describe for me then an enterprise use case, Sumeet. So I'm going to assume that this is an enterprise that's running its own data centers, and of course there's some extension to cloud. How does AppFormix fit into my world?
So first, of course, you get visibility, right? You get visibility into all the layers, whether they be physical, virtual, cloud, whatever that is, you get that visibility. Then next is, for us, it's being able to visualize that the connectivity and the quality of that connectivity. And then take that, and if perhaps you know, if your objective was security, if you want your apps to be secure, or then you can use that information to construct policies and implement policies. If what you're trying to achieve is cost control, then again, using that same data, you can determine where it's best and how to run your application. It's really what you want to achieve, and we can use the data to, you know, help you achieve that goal.
Okay, I want to drill in on the security component just for a moment. Now, you said, okay, you could, based on the analysis that's been done and the visualization that you've got of your data and where it is and so on, now use that information, that data, to write security policies. Is AppFormix, like, could it be tied into a micro-segmentation system, that kind of thing? Or is it more like I can extract the data and then, you know, manually do what I want to figure out what a policy should be and then, you know, create it in a different platform?
So you can do both, actually. And if you use AppFormix and Contrail together, then we can actually automatically close loop for you. We can identify the policies and even implement them for you on your virtual and physical networks.
Ah, got it. Okay. Now I want to talk about the cloud bit some more. So my own local data center, that's one thing. I got the servers, I own the storage, I've got OpenStack or Kubernetes or whatever I've got that is orchestrating things for me. Now when we move this to cloud, I've got virtual infrastructure, it's AWS, it's Azure, it's Google Compute, whatever it is. I mean, I don't own that infrastructure at that point. What's AppFormix doing to help me with that infrastructure? Is it hitting APIs in the cloud to understand, like, what might be in my Amazon VPC, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it can do that. So the APIs is kind of like the most basic form. So the cool thing there is, if you do use a platform, if you do use AppFormix or a platform like AppFormix, is that the platform can make those API calls to each of the independent cloud platforms. But northbound of this platform, you get one single consistent API using which you can monitor all of those resources, as well as consistently set policy on all of those resources, no matter which cloud they're sitting on. But then, really, the predominant use case that we are seeing is not just, you know, monitoring those VMs using APIs, But embedding the agents in those virtual machines in the cloud, and then creating an environment that's that essentially takes applications, containerized applications, and those applications then span the multi-cloud environment. And then AppFormix gives you very deep visibility into each of those containers and that full application and the communication patterns and all of that fancy security stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's just bringing all of it together. It kind of doesn't matter where your data resides in that sense. AppFormix will show you exactly where everything is laid out. I just had a thought here. So what if I've got the kind of a deal where my authentication service is living in Azure because I'm leveraging their AD service, and my app is actually running over in Amazon, and I've got some other module that's down in my data center. Do I get a sense of my app flow? Because I know, I mean, maybe that's a rough question, because I know you said earlier that this is really a infrastructure centric as opposed to application centric, but sometimes it's pretty interesting to know how the flows between application components are going.
Yeah. So that's actually what I was talking about, because let's say that you have an environment that spans multiple clouds, right? It's essentially, let's say, virtual machines that spun up on these different clouds. Once you embed the agent in those virtual machines, then we can actually visualize that entire application stack for you that spans all of those different clouds.
Mm.
Because those agents discover all the processes, all the containers, they tie into Kubernetes, they tie into OpenShift, that whatever that orchestration engine is that you're using to orchestrate your application, and then give you all of the additional visibility.
Another piece comes in here. Enterprises that are operating at this scale and with this level of application complexity probably have a bunch of different apps, and not everybody's going to care about everything. So can I carve up AppFormix into views, or is it multi-tenant?
So AppFormix is multi-tenant. It's got role-based access built in. And the role-based access ties back into the enterprise identity service. We have SAML integration as well. So it's actually fairly easy to construct that multi-tenant experience using AppFormix.
Okay. We're talking use cases here. So my mind is just kind of expanding as I see all these different things that I can do with it. There's a lot here.
Yeah. What the interesting thing here, right? I mean, is the design point we started with. The design point we started with was, hey, we got to build a system that's real time. We got to build a system that fosters collaboration, and we got to build a system that enables automation. So, because the value is in the data.
And it's not necessarily visibility of the analytics. It's the doing something with it. It's the action.
That's it. It's the.
And this is where some of your competitor products haven't quite got to what I think might be your maturity point, which is there are other products out there that do analytics, that do visibility using streaming telemetry or legacy, data collection modes. But they haven't closed the loop, which is where I think your value is, as you've gone a step further. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And then all of this, as we say, right, it's not just, hey, you can visually see it. It's all accessible through APIs. It's truly, in that space of infrastructure as code.
Yeah. Right. And that's just what I mean about a mature product. You've actually gone through, collecting in the telemetry, putting it together, creating dashboards, step one. Step two, automating the system out the back. So I've got things going on, build KPIs, create automations that run off the back. And then step three is I'll slap some APIs on the top of that. I'm not that everybody does APIs last, but generally that's sort of the life cycle of how I, as engineers, we work, does it do the basics? Yes. Does it do the thing I want? Yes. Does it do the stuff I don't want? That's kind of how I'm looking at this three phases.
Again, my mind expanding as we talk about all the different things that AppFormix can do, and I'm thinking, realizing the level of complexity that it can manage for me, how do I find things in AppFormix? Is there a search engine? Do I have to just do a lot of clicky-clicky until I end up in the right place?
It's all search-based. The entire experience is centered around search, A. B is showing you the needles. So on any screen within the AppFormix system, we are always trying to show you the needles. So when you log in, it's like, hey, these three things need your attention, and here's why. and you can click directly to those three things and see what's going on. The other thing that we've also done is essentially, like, I mean, if you really think about, you know, this world of multi-cloud, right? It's you're going to have resources that are spread across everywhere. So we do bring together in a single view telemetry from all those resources. But if you still do want to be able to visually see or, you know, even set policy for groups of resources, you know, whether they belong to a single app, or whether they belong to, you know, or whether they're running on a single cloud, or if they're a certain type of resource in a single cloud, then you can very quickly start to, what we say, like, use the social feature, which is like tag objects in AppFormix and construct those views and aggregates in real time. And
tags are all the rage this year. I talk a lot about IT being in fashion, right? Everything comes around, and just right now, tags is just so this year.
But they do really simplify your life, right? And
they do.
The good thing here is that a lot of that tagging we do for you automatically.
And that's the key. So I discovered this in my Mac when I was able to start using tagging of files, and I was able to class them by color or put a tag about, you know, this file is talking about analytics, this one's talking about polling, this is about programming. And I was able to tag files, and that made them really easy to search, because you search on the tag and find them in the file system. But it wasn't until I started seeing tags come into like VMware's orchestration engine in NSX and into apps like yours that I suddenly started to realize that if you can just automatically tag. So now I have an app on my Mac, so whenever a file's downloaded, it automatically tags it with the site where it came from. I have like hundreds of rules that say I downloaded this from Juniper's website and it's related to this. And then a window pops up and says, this happens. But you're actually going to do all that for me. So I can just say, this data is this, click, and there's a tag is already applied. Is that the same sort of idea?
Yeah. So the tags are already applied. And then here's the cool thing, though, right? Like, when we think about policies, the policies are associated to tags, right? The policies exist in the system. So as new data points come, as new objects come, they're automatically tagged, and the policies are automatically implemented for them. You don't have to go in and say, hey, here's what you need to do for this. It's all done for you. Mm. Especially, I mean, if you think about cloud, right? I mean, you're always spinning up new resources, right? Your resource is always going away. If that policy can exist beforehand, and then as your environment changes, the policy is automatically applied to it, the ML algorithms automatically adjust for that change in resource, then life just becomes that much simpler.
Well, we're talking about use cases here, and we've focused on enterprise and data center, but there's other use cases too. There's a WAN use case that I know we mentioned, and we were chatting about this before we started recording, and there's also a service provider use case. Can you briefly describe those, WAN and service provider?
So the WAN use case, I mean, we did talk about it, but predominantly it's essentially tying, you know, taking the telemetry feeds, converting it into, you know, those higher order KPIs of quality of devices and links and interfaces, and then informing the, you know, the orchestration engine of all of that state, so that they, you know, the engine can make better decisions on how to set the circuits up. But the more exciting one for us is the service provider one, because there, I mean, there's this complete transformation happening with 5G, and, you know, we're starting to see this migration from the world of physical to virtual. And in that new world, we really kind of like see you know, like this need for being able to kind of like monitor that entire stack, right? Like that application that's running inside that virtual machine, the virtual machine itself, the underlying host, the networks that connecting that host, the WAN that connects the DCs, and kind of like all of this technology gets used. And, you know, it's kind of like it's coming full circle is what I'd say. There's no longer this thing about, hey, I can treat the virtual differently from the physical.
Mm. Yeah, because it's all the same, regardless. And increasingly, you know, containers on top of OpenStack, on top of a public cloud. I mean, where's the hardware? And you can still run containers on top of OpenStack in a private cloud, like in your own data center. And the point is that where once the hardware was intimately involved with the virtualization layer, which was involved, there's increasingly abstraction. And I think the point here is that, you know, if you are running containers and you are likely running them on VMs, because that's where people mostly are running towards, and then running that on top of some other infrastructure, be it public cloud or your own, think of all the complexity that you've got in there, that all of a sudden those points, there are reasons why all those abstractions are in place. Because underneath that, of course, you've got your storage and your network and your compute. All those points need to come together to work together. And that's why you need more advanced analytics and telemetry solutions than what we had before. SNMP was fine back in, you know, 1995, but in 2018, it's really not.
Well, Sumeet, I want to move the conversation along to some closing questions about AppFormix architecture. Just for the nerds who have hung around this long and just they really want to know some of the under-the-hood magic and how all of this does what it does. So now, earlier in the show, we mentioned that AppFormix talks to an orchestration engine like Kubernetes or OpenStack or talks to the public cloud, et cetera, and that's part of how discovery is getting done. So correct me if I misstated any of that, but assuming I'm more or less right, if I've got discovery and it's completed, do I then have to tell AppFormix what to monitor?
No, it's automatic. It discovers automatically, it tags the objects automatically, and then your policies are tied to the tags, and as new objects get tagged, they automatically get the monitoring policies as well.
Oh, even more. Okay, tags aren't just convenient. They're actually intimately woven into how AppFormix is doing what it's doing. That's interesting. Okay. And then another question here is, there's a massive amount of infrastructure that it sounds like AppFormix was designed to keep up with, keeping up with a lot of inbound telemetry and so on. So am I running this thing on like some big monster server, or is it distributed?
It's completely distributed. Not lying, but early, you know, when we started and we used to go out on customer calls, you know, what customers used to tell us, but can you start by monitoring our monitoring system because it's tipped over? It couldn't keep up. Oh. Right? And it's odd. It would be like, you know, the guy who built it left and I have nobody to run it now. And really, if you look under the hood there, it's like monitoring just became so complex. Right? And part of the reason for that complexity was because we just took some database, treated it like a kitchen sink, and kept throwing things at it, and it couldn't keep up. So when we built AppFormix, we said, you know what, let's take a completely, let's distribute this thing out. Let's not make these central choke points, and let's build it in a way where it's easy to operate so that it really doesn't need those PhDs to keep up and running. So it's a completely distributed system with the distributed analysis built in, baked in to the system.
Well, so does that mean I'm aiming streaming telemetry feeds at like some kind of load balancer, like a front door IP that then distributes inbound streams across the cluster, that kind of thing? Or
it's a system that scales elastically. So depending on what the scale of the number of devices you want to monitor and things like that, the platform will spin up a number of agents that are capturing the metrics that the metrics are being streamed to. And it's like how modern applications are built.
Really. Service discovery and so on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now I was digging through one of your videos where you talked about the architecture a little bit, and you mentioned something that when I heard it at first, it was kind of a mind blown moment. And then you explained it a little bit like, oh, okay, I get it. And that is this contrast of message bus and in-memory calculations versus a database. And if I understood you right, there isn't a database. Everything's handled by the message bus.
Everything is done in memory. Yes. I got to contrast this, right? If you think of a traditional monitoring system, you're capturing the telemetry, you're kind of recording the telemetry in a database, and then you're trying to run queries against the database to make sense of that data. In the case of AppFormix, you're capturing the telemetry onto an in-memory database, and then just while you're capturing that telemetry, even before it's written to that in-memory database, you're running all of the streaming algorithms to essentially get to your KPIs.
Okay. So it's not that there's no database. It's just that everything's in memory. So we're not doing a SQL query and then writing records into SQL and then pulling that data back out so that we can manipulate them and do graphs and whatever. It's all happening. That's where the real time's coming in. Everything's there now.
And if the customers do also have a database listener on that same message bus to record information, to record for playback, but it's not in the critical path of the analysis.
And that was another point that I'm reminded of. You mentioned that because people are just subscribing to a message bus to be able to pull data off of it, there's no scaling limitation, particularly for how many people could be looking at KPIs.
Yeah, because you're not making those database queries, right? And traditionally, you're limited by how many queries you can make to the database. In this case, it's all coming from in-memory. If you and me are looking at the same screen, it's all from that same stream.
Right. But another thought, though, there it comes, and that's if there's no long-term database like I'm used to, how do we deal with data retention?
So, we have this time machine is what we call it, which is a NoSQL DB that listens onto that same message bus and records it for playback. But as I said, that's not in the critical path for the analysis. It's purely for the playback.
It's off to the side, like, oh, you need to go back in time. Sure, we can do that. Right. So the focus is on the real-time ingestion of reacting right now to the current state of the environment. But if you do need to go back 12 hours, weeks, I don't know, is there a limit on how far back I can go?
That's completely dependent on how much storage the customer wants to.
Right. You'd be assigning physical storage to that NoSQL database at that point, and then you can keep as many data points as you want, limited by your storage. Okay.
But then, we can do one more thing that's interesting, which is, we can even create summaries, compressed summaries of that input data to store for really long periods of time. Let's say you wanted to do long-term capacity planning, then that becomes extremely useful.
Yeah. So you, in one of the videos I watched of you, you mentioned there's four data streams in AppFormix. You just reminded me that there's raw telemetry, capacity planning, event storage, and historical trending. What's a data stream?
That's just how we think about data. We think about everything as a stream, as a sequence of data points, and they're just all streams to us.
Yeah, but this architecture is unique. Most people would do it the traditional way, grab the data, write it into a database, then pull it back out of the database to analyze it. Put the database into read-only, and then pull, and then try and come up. To do things in memory like you're doing is not simple. You're kind of brushing past it as if it's, that's what we do. But that's not easy.
What do I say, right? If you solve a problem and you want people to work on it, you got to give them a challenge that they'd be excited about solving.
Yeah, I think the point is here is that, and we've talked about other companies who are doing vast telemetry at scale, and they all have special magic in the software. You can't do this using traditional models. You're not doing it with Java and vast Java libraries, because it's just too slow. You actually have mystical magic software in there that actually is doing stuff really fast. If you're going to do in-memory processing, you're not using 30-year-old code like some people are.
But the really cool thing today is how much compute processing we have available on even the smallest of devices that we can use. Several years ago, that wasn't available. So we make full use of the technology that's available to us.
Looking ahead to the future, then, I noticed Project Yoda. This is natural language processing of AppFormix, where you can ask it questions like you might ask Siri, that sort of thing. Can you talk about Project Yoda and how far along that is and what all you're hoping to achieve with it?
The goal is to achieve two things. One is to make it much more easier to interact with the AppFormix system, to make it much more easier to interact with the information contained in the system. And for that, of course, NLP is the way everybody is headed, right? Like, so that it makes it, you can type commands, you can talk to it. So that's kind of cool, but Yoda is more than that. It's not just the NLP. The key value there is in the automated correlation. So let's say we're thinking about KPIs. We traditionally, or in a simplistic way, you can think about a KPI that's like in a single dimension, as in, hey, like, look at this interface. Am I dropping packets on this interface? So like a KPI for packet drop or something, right? But things can get more complex from that, because as in, you want to start thinking about the service that's actually running. And then what we are doing with Yoda is essentially taking all of those individual elements, aggregating them, and automatically creating a service level KPI, and automatically identifying for you who is it that's affected, and what you need to do to remedy the situation.
So it's not just voice recognition. It's also intelligent logic to determine what your request is, route the request in, find the appropriate automation, and then react back to the user. So it's not trivial.
Yeah. Yeah, the voice part is kind of cool. But
it's gimmicky in the sense that asking something, right. You know, the voice part, you know, Amazon can sell you a voice control unit for $25. So it's kind of a gimmick in the sense it's turning that request, running through the query. And if you say, you know, tell me the bandwidth on my current internet connection, there's a whole bunch of things that could be.
Yeah.
And so short of actually manually programming that command, which is how Amazon Alexa's skills work today, you actually have to tell it, when you hear these words, do this. That's not automation. That's just, you know, if you pull this lever, just using voice to pull a lever, that's not exactly amazing. It's clever, but it's not amazing. I think what you're talking about is, tell me what my internet connection's doing right now. Well, you'll go off and describe, you know, narrow that down, work out that there's, and heuristically determine my intent, in a sense.
Yeah. That's where the complexity is. Now, we're not going to get there tomorrow. It's going to take us some time. So in the meantime, of course, you got to create that platform to which you can teach the skills.
Yes.
That's the starting point. And we're down the road, and hopefully this year
you have to have the data, and then you have to have the orchestration system, and then you have to have the APIs, and then you can put something on top of that. That's stage four, I guess.
Yep.
If you stick with my metaphor that I put together earlier. Or not, as the case may be.
And it won't be just voice interaction necessarily. My understanding was there'd be an interaction with Slack, kind of like a chatbot.
Yeah, so chatbot's available actually today on AppFormix. You can use it on Slack.
Cool. All right. ChatOps is cool when you can do that. I haven't done it myself, but I've seen people do it, and I've gone like, that is very cool.
So we have done a lot on AppFormix. As I dug into this product, researching for the show, and I kind of got a sense of what it did, I got a little excited. So then I wrote the script, like, oh no, I have too many questions, but we managed to get it in just about an hour. So this is great stuff. Sumeet, thank you so much for answering all of our questions. Now, for people that want to keep up with you, maybe they'd like to follow you on Twitter, anything like that that you'd like to share where they can follow you?
Yeah, so I am on Twitter, handles SUMAPPFX. Please follow me, and happy to interact with all of you.
Thank you so much again. And Sumeet's also on LinkedIn. And if you look in the show notes at packetpushers.net or in your podcatcher application, you'll see a bunch of links, including a page on automation and use cases that you can find at juniper.net. And that will walk you through a bunch of information about automation and analytics there. And in fact, this podcast, we believe, is supposed to be embedded on that page. And we gathered a whole bunch of other information for you about AppFormix and so on if you want to dig in deeper there. And that is it for our show today. So thank you so much for listening to the Packet Pushers Weekly Show, which is now in its 9th year. And our special thanks to Juniper Networks for sponsoring this episode, because without our sponsors, we cannot do what we do here at the Packet Pushers network of podcasts and blogs, newsletters, community discussions, and videos, helping you with your professional career development. To find everything we have to offer, visit packetpushers.net. If you only listen to the podcast, you really and truly are missing out on many things that we have for you. You can tweet us at Packet Pushers, follow us on LinkedIn, and rate us on Apple Podcasts. Last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.